Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Saturday morning, so we are talking about our continuing series that we've been working on, setting supernatural goals, setting goals in the supernatural realm. And last week we spoke a little bit about forgiveness and how forgiveness and understanding forgiveness ties in to being able to address things, especially in our past, as well as being able to face the future without fear, knowing that because our any actions or even motivations, anything has already been forgiven, that we are then free to make mistakes and trial and error, and we aren't concerned with are we going to be judged based on our trying new things. And so that gives us a freedom to experientially know God and know what He is, what projects He has for us. We can step out and try new things and want new things, and we can let our imaginations and our desires and our perceptions expand to include anything that the Lord might be putting in our way. So we looked at forgiveness from the standpoint of what happened 2,000 years ago, but we see that what it does for us here and now is change our perspective. Knowing that 2,000 years ago, all sin was forgiven, and that Jesus' purpose for that, and God's purpose for forgiveness, was not so that we could be forgiven. Instead, forgiveness is so that we can enter into life free and unencumbered. It was for the purpose of the resurrection that He went through the crucifixion. So forgiveness was to enable us to basically start with a clean slate in our relationship with God. So by making us a new creature, a spirit being, we now, this is what we mean by learning to rule and reign, is that you have a new genetic makeup, that you are a new identity and a new creature. As we learn what that means, we recognize we can never be undone. We can never be kicked out of the family. We can never be disinherited. So we can learn without any fear of loss. Think about the example of the prodigal son, that even though he had spent his inheritance, there was still more. There was always more, even though he risked it and lost it. He still received the ring and the position of son when he returned home, when he returned to his senses. So we don't have to be concerned about what we lose. And I think that's part of our being so used to not having access to life. So we do have a tendency to focus and respond much more readily and focus on much more easily the negative rather than be lured and enamored with the positive. So this is another area where we are having to develop new habits, new tendencies, a new focus. We're not talking about being a not able to see the negative. We are still going to be realists, but our reality is different than most. We see through God's eyes, with His eyes. It's not that we're blind. It's just we see things from a different perspective. We recognize that everything that we're going through and that everything that others are going through, not only has that been something that God has prepared for each one of us, but also that we have agreed to it before we came to face whatever it is we're being asked to face. So last week we looked through forgiveness, and previously what we've been doing is constructing this list of 10, approximately, you can have as many as you want or as few, but what we are looking at doing is sort of taking the nuance, taking out the cloudedness of how do we work with God, and recognize that one of the ways that God draws us to Him is He gives us desires. And we see from the past, we look at our past and we desire that we hadn't done things, that things hadn't turned out the way they did, and we see the mistakes that others made that affected us, and we see some of the mistakes that we made. And sometimes we see some of the things that God, we recognize He put them in our, these certain things in our path, but we don't see how that could have possibly been from a loving God. We ask very often, God, why did you let this happen to me? If you're a loving God, how could you let this happen? Or why did you let me do this? You know, I'm reaping the circumstances from making some really bad decisions. You know, if you loved me, you would have stopped me from doing this. So these are other areas and that we need to learn how to forgive God. And that may sound like a real odd approach, but what we're learning is that forgiveness is not about judging. That we now forgive because we are forgiving people. But going through the process of forgiveness, what that does is it reestablishes relationship. Now, we'll be going through the process very specifically in our Tuesday night series on getting healed. We'll be going through step by step, forgiving God, forgiving ourselves, and forgiving others. But for now, just looking at forgiving God so we can move forward on the process we're working on, we just want to understand a little bit more about what goes on in forgiving God. When we understand the concept of forgiveness as God uses it today, we can expand and deepen our relationship with God by forgiving Him for hurts He has done to us. This will likely be something we all need to learn to deal with and to understand God's approach with this, because it's not something that comes that we've all been taught or been exposed to. Of course, you know, God never does anything wrong, so how can He need forgiveness? Remember, this is not about the other person. Forgiveness is not about what the other person did. Forgiveness is about you being a forgiving person. So then how do we then think about forgiving God? we're not, because we're not living, excuse me, under the law, but according to his life, grace, under grace what is important is relationship, not behavior. We don't forgive God because he's done something wrong. This is important. We forgive God. There's something there that needs to be addressed because he hurt us. He did do something that causes us pain, that caused us pain, and that is causing us pain, and that probably will cause us pain. Okay, think about that. It's not that he did something wrong. It's that something he did caused us pain. This is where we get this, our problem very often comes from, well, if it causes us pain, it's got to be wrong. Because pain is bad. Pain can only be the result of something or someone doing wrong. Because if everybody did things right, if life was perfect, then there'd be no pain. But that's just not true. We will have trials and tribulation and pain in this life. And the more we recognize, okay, we're going to be rejected, we're going to be hurt. So our goal in this life is not to avoid pain. It's not to avoid getting hurt. It's to learn to recognize this is what's going to happen. How do we deal with it? How do we overcome it? How do we learn to live with it? Because working to avoid pain gives it control over you. Think of someone who has who's a germaphobe, for instance. They are afraid of getting germs on themselves because they might get sick. Well, that fear controls their life. So they might as well be sick because their life is already being distorted and drained by that fear. Another example is an alcoholic. You can be controlled by alcohol either by consuming it, where it physically distorts you and can destroy your physical body, or it can control you through the fear of consuming it. Either way, we want to be free from either one of those extremes. But those, when we recognize that while we are here on this earth, we will experience pain. As we come to grips with that and learn, okay, if we're going to experience pain, we need to learn how to deal with it and how to not let pain or the fear of pain interfere with our relationship with God. Okay, let me just repeat that. We can't let the fear of pain or pain itself interfere with our relationship with God. There's the whole idea of, I don't want to get so spiritual that I draw attention to myself of either God or the demonic or what, or the enemies, because then I'll be a target. Well, what you have done is you've already lost. You've already let your enemies win, because that fear is keeping you from relationship with God. And guess what? He's not going to let that stand. He's still going to pursue you. So one way or another, whether it's in this life or the next, you're going to have to learn how to manage living with pain. Whether it's literal pain, whether it's constant rejection. You know, in many, many countries around this world, Christians are persecuted and sometimes put to death for their beliefs. But it's not about our beliefs, it's our relationship that we want to stay focused on. So we look at recognizing that whatever is going on in your life right now is from God. Whether it's a positive, what we perceive as a positive, or what we perceive as a negative. These are circumstances that He has put in our lives in order to learn to overcome them and to develop new habits. One of the big habits we're looking at is always going to God. God, is this from you? Lord, is this you? Learning to test what we hear. Especially during the learning process, we are fairly easily deceived because it is a process. But we don't want to be afraid of being deceived, because that fear will keep us from relationship with God. So we are learning how to forgive God for hurting us. Because those hurts you've experienced in your past were arranged by God and agreed to by you. Because we're still in process and learning how to live according to our new spirit identity, God often has to resort to putting us into difficult situations in which we get hurt. Or we're there when others do things that they are learning that we sort of get caught in, especially as children, in that process, and we are still hurt. We may be totally innocent of any wrongdoing, but we will still get hurt. But it's important to recognize that it is from God's hands, not the other people, not the world or the devil. Even though there will be consequences for them, for their actions. Let me give you an example. Say a relative of yours was killed by a drunk driver. Or even let's say they were murdered, okay, deliberately cold-blooded murder, and you're attending that person's trial. And a reporter comes up to you and asks, you know, what do you think about them? Do you forgive them? Do you forgive him for killing your loved one? What would your response be? How about this? Of course I forgive them. But it has nothing to do with them. I forgive them because I am a forgiving person. Reporter might come back and ask, well, so do you want them to get the death penalty? Do you want them to go to prison? If you forgive them, do you think that they should still be on trial then? And your response then is, those are two separate things. He is also, even though I've forgiven him, he is bearing the consequences of breaking the law. And I'll leave it in the jury's hands, according to the law, to provide justice, according to the law. But for me, I forgive him. not because he deserves it, not because he's asked for it, not because he's sorry, but because I'm a forgiving person. All things are under God's control and occur according to his own purposes. When we accept that he's doing these things for us, to bring us into dependence on him, when pain comes into our lives, we learn to take it right to him. We don't try to get out of it or blame it on someone or something, but we go right to the first cause of every event in our lives. And we say, Lord, that hurt. You hurt me. And because he loves us and he shares our pain, he says, I'm sorry. But I love you. I'm sorry that that hurt. But I love you. And this is what needed to happen. And we say, okay, Lord, that's okay. And I love you too. And we forgive God. We keep our relationship open with him. We don't hold his actions that caused us pain. We don't hold those actions against him. We restore our unconditional acceptance of his unfathomable love for us. So think about that as you look over your list of areas where you may have suffered the consequences of someone else's making a mistake. And you may even love those someone else's, but they made mistakes, and you're the one who had to bear the consequence and suffer the consequence. But you forgive them, not because they deserve it, not because they asked for it, but because you are a forgiving person. Now, that doesn't let them off the hook for any consequences, any reimbursement they may owe. And again, we'll go into that in detail in the Tuesday night series. But for now, just recognize with God, it's important to keep a clean slate with him, because that's part of our purpose of experiencing pain, recognizing that it's all coming from him, because we have to learn how to depend on him, not just when things are fun and good and a blessing, but also recognize that the hurt comes from him, the pain, the stress, the trials also come from him. Now, just to throw in here, one of the reasons, especially with Father's Day tomorrow, one of the reasons we have such a hard time with the concept of forgiving God and keeping an open relationship with him is that so many believe so many people believe that parents never have to apologize to their children. Okay? And when we believe that, when we believe that parents never have to say I'm sorry for hurting you, that affects the parent-child relationship. And that's what we transfer over to our relationship with God. And God wants to he recognizes and he's sorry for causing us pain. But it works his purpose. God does not like us to see us in pain. He mourns with us when it hurts. But that doesn't mean he regrets doing it. He can mourn with us. And yet, know that it's for a brief season. So we keep those open lines with him by forgiving him for hurting us, for causing us pain. So now you've got your list of 10 things. And again, it can be between 5 and 15. The number's not important, but 10 is a good, you know, I didn't want to just stop with coming up with a few, but we are going to narrow it down. So far what we've learned how to do is how to deal with interference, and that when you're going through this process, every time you want to learn how to deal with interference. And so we're just going to, just as a refresher, we're going to go ahead and do that right now. Lord, we just ask that you would bring any interference to the surface, whether it's from the world, the flesh, or the devil, and that you teach us how to deal with any interference. And for the demonic interference, we just exercise our authority over you right now. You must drop your interference. You must go now. You cannot interfere with what God is doing in any way, shape, or form. If you are here without a legal justification, you must go now, and you must go where Jesus sends you, and you must take with you any of your scars or bad habits, and you must go now. If you are here but have legal recourse to be here, you must stand in the corner, and you cannot interfere, you cannot speak, you cannot make yourself known in any way until the Lord himself deals with you, and you cannot interfere with what the Lord wants to do and what the Lord wants to speak for this time. So over time, we'll go into this a little bit more detail, but this is, I want you to just start getting very objectively learning how to, shall we say, set the table. This is one of the first things you do, is you deal with interference. Then next, I want you to take your list and narrow it down to 3 that we're going to develop specific goals in how to deal with. Now, these are not necessarily going to be your top things that maybe are causing you the greatest pain, but I want you to take your list before the Lord and ask the Lord, what 3 items on this list do you want to deal with during this time? What 3 goals or items of concern that are causing me pain, whether the past or present or a fear in the future, do you, Lord, want to deal with? Now, if you've got your items numbered, okay, ask the Lord to bring to your mind the specific numbers, like 3, 12, and 25. If you don't have them numbered, just let your eyes fall down the page. In other words, don't do it by item, but do it very objectively. And just let him draw your attention to 3 things. Now, if he draws your attention to more than 3, mark all of them, say it's 4 or 5. And then ask him, Lord, we're looking for 3. Are you saying you want to do 4 or 5 rather than 3? Or is there any interference? Am I trying to interfere, or is there any interference? And work through that. The Lord may want to, we're not going to dictate to him in this. He may want you to do 4 or 5, or he may only want to focus on 1 or 2. So this is the homework I want you to do until next week, is work through this. And for now, just mark and indicate which ones the Lord has chosen for you to be working on. And we'll hopefully be able to move a little quicker on this now that we've hopefully gotten some of the groundwork done as to our purpose and our approach to keeping our relationship with God open through forgiveness and being objective about where the Lord wants to take us. So we'll pick up here next week. next Saturday at 10 o'clock. But other than that, have a great weekend, and I'll be back with you on Monday at 6:30. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.